The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Okay. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Yeah. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Oh, once she grabs, she won't let go. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole.
None of that soft stuff. None of that heavy metal stuff. Just a little bit of jazz.
What do you think?
Just I like love that.
And I'm having a stereo issue. Can you tell?
Big laughs.
Right, I hope I got it fixed. All right. Thank you for the wonderful musical introduction. Yeah, if you heard a little bit of noise there, it was because I've got a short somewhere, and it seems like, well, one channel was cutting out, but it appears to be fixed now. You know, it is, I think, Mercury retrograde. There's all kinds of tech gremlins doing their dirty work these days. But anyway, here we are. Welcome to a Thursday, and it's just another strange day in America. But today is Thursday. Howie Klein is here. And finally, we had a great primary day for progressives. So we've got a lot to talk with Howie about, a lot of momentum to hopefully pick up on and keep going, because next week there's some big, very, very important races, like in Texas. It's the runoff in Texas. So the big progressive race this coming Tuesday is, I forget what district it is, but it is progressive challenger Jessica Cisneros taking on Henry Cuellar. Henry Cuellar is the only anti-choice Democrat in the House. Now, there are others who may feel that way personally, but they don't use their own religion as an excuse to put their beliefs on their constituents. For instance, Marcy Kaptur, I can go with her in Ohio. I know she's a Catholic. She's devout. She does not believe in abortion, but she's not putting her personal beliefs ahead of her responsibility to represent the people who elected her. Henry Cuellar has no such problem. He votes against a woman's right to choose. But what's really unfortunate, well, there's a lot of unfortunate wrapped up in that whole thing, but Henry Cuellar is, you know, we'd be better off without him. With someone more closely related to the beliefs of the rest of the Democratic Party. And Henry Cuellar instead got the endorsements of Nancy Pelosi, you know, all of the House leadership, and I believe Joe Biden as well. Really? He also supported Kurt Schrader, who's on his way out in Oregon, because he was defeated in the primary by a progressive. See how that works? This is why I love primary season so much. So we'll talk with Howie about all of that and what's happening this coming Tuesday. There's also another issue, another circumstance unraveling in New York. Now, this makes no sense to me at all. I get it in a state like Florida, or North Carolina, or Georgia, places that are highly contested where people are fighting over the redistricting maps. And again, because the so-called census was done in 2020, every state maps are being redone to use the new numbers. Now, the census was flawed because the president at the time was flawed. And he wanted it that way. Well, it's going to wind up costing now his current state of Florida millions of dollars because of the undercounting done by the flawed census. But in New York, something else is going on. New York is controlled by the Democrats, right? They have majorities in both houses. They hold the governor's office. They control the machine in New York. However, and I'm not sure about this, but we'll talk to Howie about it, and he'll definitely have the whole scoop. It appears to me that the people drawing the maps got a little too a little too overly confident. And as they tend to do, they drew the maps to favor their party when they should have just been fair about it. Seriously, we always hold ourselves, we as the Democrats, hold ourselves up as being the fair ones. But I understand that in times like this, sometimes you gotta meet the opponent where they live, and that means playing dirty, because that's all they know. But in New York, I guess they were being a little too ambitious with the maps, and the court threw it out. And so what's happening now is the new maps they're being presented with go over the top to punish the Democrats, it seems. And now there's a situation going on where some districts are being combined, and it looks like Sean Patrick Maloney, who heads up the DCCC, and my God, Nancy Pelosi always puts in the worst people to head up the DCCC. Well, this guy is his own best promoter, or worse, depending how you look at it. And his district apparently is being eliminated or combined in this latest map with the district represented by Jamal Bowman, a first-term freshman congressman. By Mondaire Jones. Sorry, I'm getting them mixed up. Another first-term freshman congressman. Mondaire Jones happens to be a gay man, as is Sean Patrick Maloney. So I guess this is like gay-on-gay violence, although they're not violent yet. But it's getting really ugly there. So we'll go through all of that with Howie. But I got to tell you, it doesn't match the video, huh? It sounds like my the sync is off, is it? Let me see if I can do something about that. Hold on 1 second. There, no, this should be working. Damn it. All right, if it's not one thing, it's another. So today, hopefully the audio wobbliness is fixed. Knocking on wood laminate, I rolled back to an earlier version of this software that I use. So hopefully the audio wobbling is fixed. But now the sync is off on YouTube. Wonder, it's always something, right? Got to be something. If it's not one thing, it's another. All right. Hopefully it'll fix itself. Well, I'll tell you what. Way out of sync. Well, sorry about that. And all of my my things that keep us in sync seem to be correct. So I don't know. And right now what I'm seeing is in sync. So I don't know what to tell you. Maybe if I play this video when I come back, it'll be better. So I have to share this video with you because, you know, time, some people say what, time cures all ills or something, like time, if you put space between something that, you know, things tend to look better after a period of time. And I know that during the Trump years, a lot of people were saying, well, maybe George W. Bush wasn't so bad. Yeah, he was. But how quickly we forget. Well, old W. gave a speech yesterday. He was working at, what?
Heals all wounds.
Thanks you. Thank you. Wounds all heals, too. Yeah, the brain and the mouth synapses are not connecting today either. So my sync is off. Not only on the video, but in my brain as well, it appears. I'll work on that. Anyway, so George W. Bush was giving a talk at the Bush, George W. Bush Foundation or something in Dallas. And, well, I just have to play the clip for you. I'm just going to play the clip for you because how quickly we forget. And you shouldn't forget, you know, never forget that this man was president for 8 years.
In contrast, Russian elections are rigged. Political opponents are imprisoned or otherwise eliminated from participating in the electoral process.
Yeah.
The result is an absence of checks and balances in Russia and the decision of one man to launch a wholly unjustified and brutal invasion of Iraq.
What?
I mean, of Ukraine.
Whoa!
Iraq, too. Anyway.
Iraq, too, anyway? Ha, ha, ha?
75.
I'm 75. Wow. Okay, just wanted to be sure you heard that.
You heard that,
I'm
right?
Laughing.
That is now again the most disconcerting part of it was the laughter. You know what it reminded me of? Remember the White House Correspondents' Dinner? No weapons of mass destruction here. Maybe under here. Aha! That was so funny. What did we say when I was a kid? So funny, I forgot to laugh. Wow. Incredible. Yeah, Freudian slip, you think? This is the mother of all Freudian slips. But more interesting to me was the way he reacted to his stupid gaffe. Again, let's watch this again. And I'm probably going to pause it when we get to that point. But wow, here we go. Oh, whoops.
All right. Anyway,
hold on. I went too far. I went too far. Let me back it up. Yeah, we know you're 75. Here we go.
The result is an absence of checks and balances in Russia and the decision of one man to launch a wholly unjustified and brutal invasion of Iraq. I mean, of Ukraine. Iraq, too. Anyway.
Iraq, too. Anyway. He knows. He knows, and yet he finds it a punchline? That's despicable. Let me tell you something. This man was so fucked up. Yes, the worst president in our lifetimes until the next guy came along. And, you know, back when finally W was leaving office, we forget. You forget the gaffes, the Bushisms. The Bushisms, that's what I called them. They were Bushisms. I pulled together tons of them because there was no shortage of George Bush puking at the mouth saying really stupid things. And I pulled a bunch together and I did a Bushisms A to Z. And it runs like probably 30 minutes. So obviously I'm not going to take up airtime here. But maybe I will post it in, maybe I'll post it on the blog. Or maybe I'll put it up on YouTube so, you know, people can remember. Because it's like out of sight, out of mind, right? People forget what we went through with that man. What?
Excuse me, Nicole.
Yes?
You also forgot that we need to look forward.
Not back.
We don't need to look back.
Right.
You forgot that.
Yes.
I mean, the fact that this son of a bitch belongs behind bars for the rest of his fucking life because of all the people that were killed as a result of his stupidity and ineptitude.
Yeah.
We need to look forward. We can't look back.
No, we can't. We can't look
back.
We
need to fucking sing kumbaya with him.
Well, of course, because, oh, he's so great. And now that he's been gone, do you miss me yet? No. You know, the projection from the right is also kind of astounding. It's you know, I find myself at a loss for words. Can you tell? Because they cover themselves up. They cover their tracks while they continue to demean anybody who doesn't agree with their political point of view. It's a very dystopian time we're living through. And it's just not good. So on the other hand, you got these crazies on the right bitching about, including Elon Musk. Now, can we get him on the mix here? Saying, you know, that Joe Biden is demented and, you know, he's lost his mind. Really? He sounded pretty damn lucid to me when he decided to do something about the shortage of infant formula.
I know parents all across the country are worried about finding enough infant formula to feed their babies. As a parent and as a grandparent, I know just how stressful that is. I want to provide a few updates on our work to get more formula into the United States and on the store shelves so it's available to you.
Okay.
Today, I'm invoking what they call the Defense Production Act to ensure that manufacturers have the necessary ingredients to make safe, healthy infant formula here at home. The Defense Production Act gives the government the ability to require suppliers to direct needed resources to infant formula manufacturers before any other customer who may have ordered that good. I'm also announcing Operation Fly Formula, That's to be able to speed up the import of infant formula and start getting more formula in stores as soon as possible. I've directed the Department of Defense and the Department of Health and Human Services to send aircraft, planes overseas to pick up infant formula that meets U.S. health and safety standards so we can get it on the store shelves faster. And I've directed my team to do everything possible to ensure there's enough safe baby formula and that it's quickly reaching families that need it the most. This is one of my top priorities, and I'll continue to keep you updated on our progress.
Good. So perfectly lucid, but you would never know that if you listen to any of these right-wing pundits. Ugh, God, it's so frustrating. All right. You know, I realized it's been a while since I've given you an update on Tanya. For those of you who are new to the program, Tanya is a friend of the show. She's a friend of mine. Now, I met her, what, a couple of days after the bombing in Ukraine started, because I like to call places around the world where there's stuff going on and talk to regular human beings. And so it was, I guess, February 26th or thereabouts when I called Kyiv. I found a hostel, you know, a inexpensive hotel in the middle of the city, and it was called Friends Forever. And the name of the place is in English. And I thought, this seems like the place I should call. And sure enough, a woman answered. And it was the woman we've come to know as Tanya. She owns the place. And they were actually down in the basement taking shelter because of the incoming mortar attacks. And she had just gone up in the stairwell to check a message or make a phone call when I called. So we got to talk. So since that time, we've been communicating via the Telegram app and we've struck up a friendship. And you guys met her. She came on the program. She's been in Dubai for the last couple of months with her sister. So she and a good friend of hers and her friend's, I think, 3-year-old little boy, Mark, both left, the three of them left and went to Poland at the urging of their husbands. Now, the men couldn't leave because men between the ages of 18 and 60 are supposed to stay and defend their country. But they wanted the women and the little boy out of there. So they went to Poland. And then after a couple of weeks, Tanya's sister, Anastasia, who lives in Dubai, sent them 3 plane tickets and said, you come and stay with me. And so she's been there. And I think I told you at the beginning for a couple of weeks, she was super depressed. I mean, who can blame her? She's hearing from friends and family at home of people being killed, of their homes being destroyed, of their country being firebombed into oblivion. And she was horribly depressed. Well, you know, we've still been talking, not maybe every day as we were at the beginning, but we still trade messages. And May 1st was her birthday. So I want to share this with you because it's very, very sweet. So May 1st was her birthday. And that day, I sent her a note. I just said, happy birthday, my dear sweet friend. I hope you're able to enjoy the day. And she responded with pictures and a video. Hold on 1 second. I'm going to bring these up on the screen so those of you watching one of the video streams can see it. And for everyone else, hopefully I'll do a good enough job in describing what's going on in these pictures because it is incredibly heartwarming. So basically what happened is her sister called some of her friends and they made her a party. And wow, what a party. So check this out. All right, I'm trying to bring up the shot here. Let me close that out. See if I can make this work. Because I'm a better radio person than I am video editor. But here, this will do the trick. All right, so let me bring this over here. And you'll see she sent these pictures. First, there's a picture. You can see them in the car on the left. I think the woman in the front is Mark's mother. That's Tanya's friend, whose name I always forget. And that little boy is Mark. And there's Tanya. You could see her blindfolded. She's wearing a blindfold because obviously they were going to a secret location. Well, this is the secret location. There's a video right next to it. So let me try to bring this up so you can see it a little
better. So they're on the beach, and there's a table, like a table set for a royal dinner or something. It's beautifully set. There are lovely pillows on around the table that sits down low to the ground. All the guests, they're all dressed in white. They look lovely, and they're beautiful china and everything on this beach in Dubai. And that was that. You just heard the voice of Tanya saying to her sister, Spasiba, I remember from my brief little Russian training from when I went to adopt Allison, Spasiba is thank you. So she's thanking her sister for the party. And then here's another video. And you can see the skyline of Dubai, like across the bay. I guess it's the bay. And here's the beautiful setting for this party. And they're all dressed in white on the beach with this beautifully set table, right? How nice does this look? It's really sweet. So, and I think there's and here's Tanya. She's crying. And that's her sister. That's her sister Anastasia. So, what a good sister she has, right? All right. So that's how she spent her birthday. Very sweet, right? And so she responded, the note she wrote along with that said, oh, I had a magical day. My sister called her friends and gave me an incredibly beautiful day. And you saw it, right? Well, then a couple of days later, we were talking, you know, I sent her a package. I sent her one of my faux stained glass sunflower things that I made for her. And some of you guys wrote a note that I put in the package, and Joy sent her sunflower jewelry, and I sent it all off in plenty of time to get there for her birthday on May 1st. In fact, I know the package arrived in Dubai on April 22nd. She still hasn't gotten it, because I guess they must have Louis DeJoy over there as well. That's all I can think. So they still haven't gotten it yet, and she wrote back and she said, well, I hope the package arrives in the next 3 days. And when you say 3 days, why? Well, she said, here, I'm reading now, direct quote, I feel alive. It took me 2 months to return to my state. I'm starting to think about what would return to Kyiv. I'm not talking to my husband yet. He asks me to stay far from Ukraine, but my heart tells me that everything will be fine. So, you know, we've talked more. I sent her the video the other day of, I told you when I went to see my friend, John Andrasik, who's the artist Five for Fighting, last week, that he did this new song, this beautiful new song that's called Can One Man Save the World? Let me just play the beginning of it for you. Hopefully I won't get copyright violated. This is how the song starts. I think. Here we go.
Who is this comedian? His audience more mice than men. This Superman Ukrainian, I don't know. Great grandson of the Holocaust, an eastern heart the West has lost. Nail or carry up his cross, I don't know. But he's got everyone thinking, can one man save the world in a thousand years? Will they say your name, or is this all in vain? Can one man save the world?
All right, so that's the song. I did post it on the blog where I post the show the other day, so you can get it, or just look on YouTube, Can One Man Save the World by Five for Fighting. Anyway, so I sent her the song, and she wrote back. She said, wow, really appreciate such actions. Thank you. And then she said, we spend the last days with my sister, and on May 21st, we fly to Poland. And then she said, and then we go to Kyiv. The road will take at least 50 hours, but this is not a problem. I dream of making a surprise for my husband and going on his birthday, May 23rd. So she's going back. She's going back. And then she sent me the song, the video for the song that won the Eurovision Awards, which was a Ukrainian song. I'll post it. I'll post it today on the blog, called Stefania. And so we talked a little bit about that. And then I said, you're going back, mate? I said, I'm both very happy and very scared for you. And she said, I believe in the best, so let's pray. And then, let's see, we were talking about the package. He's trying to check on the package at the post office. And so we were talking about that. And then I said, and then I asked again, Dennis, that's her husband. I said, Dennis has no idea you're coming back. And again, I said, I'm very happy you're going, but I'm quite concerned for your safety. I wish there was something I could do to help. And she said, my sister said, oh, about the delivery. She said, yes, Dennis does not expect anything. We will find out from a friend where Dennis is when we drive up. We need 3 days to get there. I hope this time is enough for us. And then, of course, me being me, I just said, I want to make sure you have your travel planned. You know how you're getting from Poland back to Kyiv? And she said, yes, we have a car in Poland with friends. Therefore, everything is simple. A plane to Krakow, by car across the border and to Kyiv. There's no more than 900 kilometers, but we can stand at the border for a very long time. And I said, well, please be safe and stay in touch, please, so I can keep track of where you are because Mama Bear's worry. So that's the latest on Tanya. She's going back. She's going back. She misses her husband. She misses her homeland. I don't blame her, but my God, I'm very, very concerned and very worried. So that's happening. And and she's still sending me messages about, you know, the post office. She's like, now, what organization did you send it through? I said, the U.S. Postal Service. And I got notification that it's in Dubai at the post office as of August 22nd. They just haven't delivered it to her house yet. Anyway, yes, we need to make sure she's okay. I'm going to stay on top of keeping in touch with. I'm worried. You know, we're now hearing that they're finding mass graves in Kyiv, anywhere from 1,000 to 1,700 Ukrainians who were murdered. And this after the Russian soldier yesterday, the first person to be tried for war crimes, pleaded guilty. And two more are going on trial, I believe, today. I'm at a loss. All we can do is send out, you know, whatever you do, whether they're positive thoughts or prayers or whatever, you know, whatever gets you through these times. I guess we do what we got to do, right? All right. I'm a little bit early, but... Diane in the chat room says, I hope the UAE government hasn't opened it up to see what's inside. Well, if they do, they'll see a lovely faux stained glass picture of sunflowers and some nice notes and jewelry. There's nothing in there that they shouldn't have. I didn't send anything bad. All right. So I'll tell you what, we got about a minute or so before I have to call Howie Klein. Let me take this time to do a little mini commercial and tell you that art is for sale. Tell you that this program runs off of the generosity of you listeners. Many of you choose to support the program financially, either through ongoing monthly donations, either via PayPal or Stripe or Patreon. Some of you do a one-time deal at any of those places. Sometimes you send me a check, which is always much appreciated. And some of you are buying my artwork. And so I want to let you know, I'm posting it as fast as I can. I got really, really busy last weekend. So behind me, you can kind of see, I'm going to talk about this one piece because so many people have commented on it. But over my right shoulder, I'm in reverse, you can see this like sunset behind me. Well, let me see if I can zoom in on it because it's more than just a picture. It is my faux stained glass technique. Can I bring it over this way? Let's see. Will it let me? There we go. Well, it's not really showing it. You know what? I'm just going to have to bring it over here. I'll bring it over here later and show it to you. But it's I guess I should zoom out because that's not a great shot. Hold on a second. Here we go. All right. So you see how it's set, like a window frame? And the doors, there are like doors that open and close. So that's them closed. So that's my newest masterpiece. I really love that piece. Now it's crooked. So anyway, if you're interested, paintyourpets.net is the website. I am slowly posting other things up there. Of course, there's always the, you know, the custom pet portraits that are available anytime. They're on commission. I work with you. It's a very collaborative process. And as many people in the chat room can attest, is it a sunset or a sunrise? It's whatever you want it to be. It's whatever you want it to be. Anyway, it looks like stained glass, right? It's faux stained glass because I got the faker thing down. All right. So paintyourpets.net, or just send me an email if you're interested in seeing any or want to talk. Okay. Okay. And thank you for your support. It's what keeps us going. Okay. Now I think it's time. I could really use a strong, dirty Debbie right about now.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and French fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of...
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 oranges. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acidic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Ah, hey, Howie Klein. Hello? Oh, it would help if I brought
now
up...
Now I hear a little bit, a tiny bit of your voice, but not much.
Okay, how about now?
Nope.
No. Okay, wait. Oh, I know. How about now?
Perfect.
Yay, I fixed it. Yeah, you know, I had to change my whole setup here because of technical gremlins in my studio. And yeah, so things got moved around. But we're good now. You can hear me. We're good. Yay.
Yay.
And yay, can we talk
yay
about
is,
Tuesday?
I'm hearing my own voice as an echo.
You are?
Oh, yeah.
Shit. Is it?
But, you know, I'll get over it.
Okay.
Anyway, there was some breaking news. I don't know if you watched it or not or know about it, but does the name Barry Loudermilk ring a bell?
No, yeah, I read about him. This is, no, he, tell me, because now I'm drawing a blank. I just read something about him this morning.
Yes, well, he's a crackpot from Georgia. In a district, an all-red district, so no Democrat can make any headway there, just north of Atlanta. And he was elected in 2014, and the very, very first thing he did, his very first vote, was a lie to his constituents. He ran by promising that he would vote against electing John Boehner Speaker. And then, you know, he got talked to when he got elected. And then his first vote was for, that's
John Boehner, Speaker, right?
Speaker, and he voted for Boehner.
Right, right.
So the reason I'm saying that is because he's a liar, and he just got caught in a lie. He's on the House Administration Committee. He testified that there were no tours given.
Oh, yep, that's what it was.
Yep, and it turns out they have evidence now that he gave a tour on January 5th. Yep. To a bunch of domestic terrorists who then took part the next day in the rampage through the Capitol. Wow. He showed them around. So the select committee has invited him. They haven't subpoenaed him. They've asked him to come voluntarily and talk to them about it.
Wow. And this is a good time to mention that 3 weeks from today, those televised hearings begin.
Yes, this isn't part of it yet.
No, they just want him to testify.
Unexpected evidence, right? That they didn't think they were going to get, that just came to them.
Wow. Yes, no, I did read that this morning, and that's why I remembered his name, because he gave the tours. And did you see
he's one of the ones. He wasn't
right,
the only one.
Right.
He, You know, remember Boebert also.
I know. Her. And now they have her text messages. Now, today, I just read, they got her text messages. So maybe the dominoes will start falling.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not right that it's only the, you know, the foot soldiers who are going to jail and getting prosecuted for this. And even the low-level people like Loudermilk and Lauren Boebert aren't really enough. I want to see some of the coup plotters, the ones who really planned out the whole thing. Those are the most important ones. I mean, obviously, I favor every person who took part in being punished, every on any level.
Yep.
But it shouldn't only be the low life, the people at the bottom. It should be all of them.
I agree. The same way that, you know, what Obama didn't do in prosecuting the the war criminals that came before him, George Bush is back in the news. Did you hear his ridiculous statement last night?
Of course.
So, you know, and people forget. They're like, oh, he wasn't so bad. Yeah, he was. And he should have been prosecuted, right?
And so is that Cheney's father, Cheney.
That's right. Yeah, they were that bad. It's just when you think it can't get any worse and then it gets worse, it makes you think, well, maybe they weren't so bad by comparison. Yeah, they were. They really were. So, anyway, let's talk.
Can you imagine when President DeSantis is in and people are thinking, you know, Trump wasn't really that terrible.
Don't even go there. This man, you see what DeSantis is. It's frightening how scary he is. His latest thing is, and the last time I checked, Howie, tell me if I'm wrong, governors don't make laws, right? That's what a legislature is for. That's what a house, that's what a state House and Senator for. The governor just signs them into law. They don't make law. Well, he now has outlawed.
They can propose laws to the legislature. The legislature has to decide whether they want to pass it as a law. So, and he's doing that much more than most governors do. But because Florida has something called the line item veto.
Yep.
He has complete control over this legislature, which is just absolute a puppet to him. I mean, even when they disagree with him, he never loses any argument with them, because all he has to say is, I will take out all of the allocations for your district.
Wow. Well,
that's it.
Yep.
He's really a dictator.
So now, in the wake of people protesting at the homes of some of those Supreme Court squatters, I can't really call them justices. They're more squatters. He's decided that we need a law here in Florida against protesting in front of a person's home.
Yes.
So I'm actually seeing this on a post on downwithtyranny.com. The law makes it a second degree misdemeanor to protest in a way that intentionally harasses or disturbs someone in their home. Violators face 60 days in jail and fines of up to $500.
It's completely unconstitutional.
It is.
But, I mean, it's the kind of thing that he would do to, you know, because it'll be very popular with the MAGA base, but it won't stand up in court for 1 minute.
Right. Right. And the thing is, we have the right in the Constitution. It is written out in words that we have the right to peaceably assemble to protest our whatever, our ills.
Doesn't it say except in front of people's houses?
No, it doesn't say except in front of people's houses. That's not in there.
Go.
Yeah. So for those originalists who demand, well, abortion's not mentioned in the Constitution, this is. So there's that.
Right, so, and for the very reasons that he's trying to get around it.
Yeah, but I got it. I love I guess it's a meme that you have up there. It's the tube of Ben Strait pain relieving cream. And it says under Florida law, Ben Gay forced to rebrand as Ben Strait.
People really like that on
Instagram.
It's
very funny. Very funny. Anyway, so we have we've got bragging rights. We had a really good primary day on Tuesday. Some of the races aren't finished.
Day.
Well, I'm sorry?
A mixed primary day.
Okay. Well, let's start in Pennsylvania because, you know, that was the biggest of all. And there were a few surprises and some not so surprising things. one of the surprises is Summer Lee overcame or appears to have, because it's not final yet, but like $3 million thrown to get her out to embrace.
It was a lot more than that.
Was more than that?
You know, in other words, they haven't reported the last week. And in the last week, chances are they spent at least another million. That's their pattern. So, you know, they had reported 3 million up to the last week, and then the last week they we don't know yet what they spent.
I see. But so this group, United Democracy Project, spent
the PAC of AIPAC.
Right. So they went up against her.
Together as a team with a couple of other groups, one of them being Mark Melman's outfit, somebody for a future of Israel, something like that.
Okay, so
DMFI is what it's known as, and it's Mark Melman's group, and they usually throw in about $500,000, much of it going into Melman's own pocket. He's a complete crook. So he gets a lot of that money, but they spend money attacking progressives. They don't, even though both AIPAC and DMFI, you know, claim to be, you know, an Israeli-oriented organization, they never mention Israel. They just attack Democrats, usually using whatever arguments the Democrats are making against their opponents. So in other words, the guy running against Summer Lee,
Steve Irwin.
So he's a former Republican, and she, you know, to protect him, they attacked her as though she were a Republican.
Right.
So they just project whatever can be said about the Republicans that they represent. They attack the Democrats on those exact same issues. Not because they want to prove anything, they just want to confuse the voters, which usually is successful. The reason that Summer Lee looks like she won, although it's not sure yet, it's very, very close.
Yes.
But the reason that she looks like she won is because she was up by so much, and they whittled that down, but they didn't quite whittle it down enough.
Right. The last time I checked, she was like 450 votes ahead, so there will be a recount because it's less than half a percentage point.
Yeah.
Right, but the fact that she
not even all the votes are counted yet.
Right,
something happened this morning.
No, it didn't. It's like stalled. So I guess they're waiting on maybe absentee or who knows. But that it's very close. But it's looking like she's going to pull this off, which is huge. The fact that she can beat back millions of dollars targeting her
with just lies.
Yes,
I mean they'll just say anything. It's not like they have some kind of research team and they're trying to base it on some kind of reality. They just say whatever they want.
Right, right. Okay, so that's one.
And not just in Summer Lee's case, in all of the cases. I mean, I don't want to skip around to other states.
Right.
You want to do
Pennsylvania. Let's finish Pennsylvania first. So John Fetterman won big despite suffering a stroke 2 days before Election Day, and he beat Conor Lamb by a wide margin. Conor Lamb was the guy that the establishment Democrats got behind.
Yeah. So, and he's a conservative Democrat.
Yes.
So I was talking with another Democrat from Pennsylvania today who is a stalwart progressive, and it's someone I've known for even before he was in Congress, and an old friend. And we were talking about something completely different, and then he brought up how weird it is, but that he was happy, but how weird it is that Fetterman did so well. And he had endorsed Conor Lamb, not based on anything except friendship, that, you know, they served together in the House, and so he endorsed him, which I think is terrible, but that's the way most of these people do it.
Right.
But, you know, at Blue America, I think we endorse Fetterman, but we're not raising any money for him. I mean, I have like kind of weird ideas about telling our donors to give money to him. You know, he's definitely better than any Republican. He's certainly better than Conor Lamb, but he's a weird guy. I mean, I've known him for a very long time, personally, not just reading about him. And he's he's strange.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see him in the Senate, but I don't want to tell our donors, you know, hey, give to this guy. We're backing him, and we want you to donate to his campaign.
Right.
He doesn't quite rise to that level. But I was happy to see him beat Connor Lamb. My mind, if I talk about the story, it's like Connor Lamb lost.
Yeah, right, as he should have. So good, but the point I'm getting at here, and you'll see this repeats itself. He got the backing of the establishment of leadership. Leadership,
yes.
Who is not progressive. Nancy Pelosi, I'll say it again, needs to go home. So
yes.
the other part of Pennsylvania, and we won't spend much time on it because I'm going to talk about it tomorrow.
You mentioned Nancy, but the person who was really behind recruiting him and getting the backing of the of other members of Congress,
Chuck Schumer.
Was Schumer, not
of course,
Pelosi.
Chuck Schumer, because he always picks the bluest of the blue dogs to run for Senate. Seriously,
or the reddest of the blue dogs.
Exactly right, the reddest of the blue dogs. Then there's the governor's race, and I guess the Democrat ran unopposed, Josh Shapiro, I guess the Democrats were helping to push the guy who won, Doug Mastriano, who is
Shapiro was helping to do
right,
that.
They
I
were.
Mean, I don't think the party decided to do that, but
okay.
Shapiro took out advertising that would, you know, of criticizing Mastriano, but criticizing him in such a way that would make MAGA Republicans froth at the mouth. And
right,
want
he's
to vote
too
for.
Conservative. He's the most conservative out there, which is what they want to hear. Right.
Yeah.
And thinking that they can easily beat him. And a lot of people are warning, be careful what you wish for. They wanted to run against Trump, too, remember. So this guy...
No, but in the case of Mastriano, I don't think there's really that much of a problem.
Really?
But I know what you're saying.
Yeah, he's
but
scary.
Mastriano is, you know, has a long record of complete insanity and was, you know, one of the
architects.
People who invaded the Capitol on January
6th. That's right. He's an insurrectionist. Not only adjacent, he was there, marched to the Capitol.
Yeah.
He helped plan it. He spoke to Trump something like 30 times over that course of that week or something. He's up to his eyeballs in this. And the thing is, in Pennsylvania, the governor gets to appoint the Secretary of State who runs the election. If he were in place when Trump tried to steal the election, he would have made it happen. So that's why it's really dangerous. And there's fucked up religious shit with him, too. He thinks God sent him.
He's a Christian nationalist.
Yes.
Absolutely. In fact, on the day that he announced that he was running, he blew a chauffeur.
Seriously?
Yeah.
The driver, the chauffeur. It's a ram's horn that they blow on Yom Kippur. But I used to joke, blow the chauffeur. Not that kind of S-H-O-F-A-R. That's how it's spelled. But he's not Jewish. Leave our chauffeurs alone.
Jewish, and Jewish people really, really don't like that.
Yeah.
When a chauffeur is used for something that has nothing to do with what it was meant for.
Right.
But Christian nationalists, to them, it has to do with the you know, the walls of Jericho tumbling down. And in their mind, that, you know, they're going to make the walls of I don't know, Washington, which don't exist, to
right.
tumble down.
Well, you know, do you know Barry Lynn?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so Barry is going to be on with me tomorrow. Barry Lynn, the Reverend Barry Lynn, is the former president of Americans United for Separation of Church and State. I've known him for years. I know he does David Feldman's show also. He's going to come on tomorrow because I want to talk about this guy and you know, the old get your religion out of my chocolate kind of thing.
He's a state senator. But the district that he's a state senator for is right on in the very southern border. I think the other side of the border is West Virginia.
Oh.
No, it's Maryland. I'm sorry.
Okay.
The other side of the border is Maryland. But a part of Maryland that has nothing to do with the rest of Maryland. In fact, the county that his district abuts is trying to secede from Maryland. But in any case, the last time that district voted for a Democrat for anything, that the district that he represents, was in 1932 when FDR ran the first time. All of FDR's re-elections, they voted against, and they voted against every Democrat since then. And they even voted for, like, Barry Goldwater. But every Republican who's run since 1932, for any office they voted for, including this lunatic.
Ay, ay, ay. All right, let's talk about Oregon for a minute, because the ding dong.
Well, before you run to Oregon, why are we skipping over North Carolina? You just don't want to.
No, you can do North Carolina.
So we don't have to have any bad news.
No, you can do North Carolina if you like. I just thought it was really good news out of Oregon where Kurt Schrader is going home.
Right. Well, although it's another one that we're not certain of.
It's not only 61% of the votes were counted.
They screwed up the ballots for Clackamas County, which is a very large county with a lot of people. And so they have to be hand counted, and they're not coming in. There's no movement in that race now. The woman who's running against Kurt Schrader, Jamie
McLeod Skinner. McLeod Skinner.
McLeod Skinner. Yes, Jamie is way way ahead. I mean, it's like 60-40, a little bit better than 60-40. So you know, he has to really really do well in Clackamas County, but that's his county.
Oh,
right. You know, she did, you know, I think she won 70% of Deschutes County, which is her county. It doesn't look like he's going to do that well in Clackamas, according to the votes that they did have already in on Clackamas. He'll probably win Clackamas, but it doesn't matter. He's got to do around 60% in order to beat her, but it doesn't look like he can.
Right. And just so people know, Kurt Schrader was the guy who he cast a key vote to block the Democrats' drug pricing legislation. Right. And worked then to water the thing down. And then he played a pivotal role in killing Build Back Better, of course, you know, with the help of Joe Manchin, too.
Well, before that, he was one of six Democrats to vote against raising the minimum wage.
God.
And the other five have all been defeated. You know, they all lost the next election, but he managed to survive, and now's the time to beat him.
There you go.
I mean, there are so many things that he's bad on. He's literally, I mean, it would not be incorrect to say he's the Joe Manchin of the House.
Right. People do call him that. And by the way, you know, if she wins, and hopefully she will, Jamie McLeod Skinner overcame huge money. Big Pharma put over $1 million into this race to back Schrader, of course, because he did their bidding. You're right. He's their guy. So.
Oh, yeah.
And there was also almost
another race that is just really funny in Oregon that, you know, this guy, Sam Bankman-Fried.
The crypto billionaire, right?
Right. A crypto multi-billionaire. Billionaire. Although presumably half of his wealth must have disappeared over the last few weeks.
Oh.
But even if it did, it doesn't matter. Then he is worth $19 billion. So now he's worth $10 billion. Poor guy. In any case, he put in $15 million into the new district, Oregon 6.
Sixth, right.
And backing a random person.
Who's never held office before.
Never held anything. Participated in any civic affairs. Not only didn't he hold office, he didn't vote. He didn't do anything. He's just a guy.
Yep.
He's literally just a guy.
A guy named Tarek Flynn.
Guy, I don't know. But he was 100% Bankman-Fried's pick. And Bankman-Fried really, really wants to see him elected, and he put $15 million into that race, which is more than he's put in any other race
right.
by far.
Right.
And he came in a very, very weak second.
Very weak. In fact, with 77% of the vote in, Andrea Salinas, who is a state rep, was winning 38-19%. Now, the other thing is Hillary Clinton's former campaign manager, Robbie Mook, House Majority PAC also put in a lot of money for this guy, Tarek Flynn, who never did anything, who's being bankrolled by the crypto guy.
Just so you know, the House Majority PAC, he's the executive director. He takes his orders directly from Nancy Pelosi.
Uh-huh.
That's her PAC. She finances it, and she makes the decisions. Now, Bankman-Fried was either the first or second biggest donor, personal donor to Joe Biden. So he came to them and he said, I want you to put $1 million into this race. And they looked at each other and said, who the hell is who? What are you talking about? Who is this guy? And he said, doesn't matter. Just put it in the money. And they said, OK, sir. And they did. So members of Congress were so flipped out over that because they, you know, especially the Hispanic caucus, which was working so hard to get Salinas in there.
Yeah.
You know, and then there were other good candidates as well. And then this guy is just literally just some random person walking down the street. That's all he is.
Yeah.
Literally a random person. And Pelosi said, we got to do it.
Wow. Just, you know, unbelievable. And this, I know we're going to have to, we're going to run over a couple of minutes today. So Progressive Voices, you can come on over to NicoleSandlerStream.com or go to my website to keep listening because we're going to lose you in about 5 minutes. But there's more ground we need to cover. And the thing is, next week on Tuesday, the runoff in Texas happens where you got Henry Cuellar, who is the anti-choice so-called Democrat in the House, who Nancy Pelosi not only endorsed but went to campaign for him in Texas against Jessica Cisneros, who's, you know, could run him out of there.
Well, right, because last time it was a three-way race. There was Jessica and another progressive. And because the other progressive was in it, that's why there's a runoff, because Cuellar, who was slightly ahead of Cisneros, didn't get to 50%. So Texas has a runoff if you don't get to 50%. The thing is, if you add up the both progressives together, that's over 50%. And the other woman has endorsed and is campaigning for Jessica Cisneros now.
Okay. Well, and
that's really good news.
But it is really good news. But again, the House leadership is backing the guy who is thwarting their efforts to get anything done.
They are. And they're also, although a funny thing happened today, I got to tell you about, but before I get into what happened today, which if I forget what I wanted to talk about, it's gas prices.
Oh, okay.
But what happened is that the AIPAC people also started putting money into the race just this week. So there's, even though it looks like, well, there's not that much money against Cisneros, it'll be another $3 million by the time they get finished with her. So they definitely plan to get Cuellar to win this thing again. He's their, one of their favorite Democrats because he's actually
not a Democrat. Right, exactly.
But anyway, so they voted today, and it passed, on an anti-price gouging bill to punish the big oil companies for raising the price of gas illegally. And, I mean, it'll be illegal if this thing ever passes the Senate, which it never will. And Cuellar was against it. And they went to him, and they said, what, are you crazy? You're going to lose your election if you vote against this. And he backed away.
Uh-huh.
But there were four Democrats, including Stephanie Murphy of Florida, who voted with the Republicans. So every Republican voted against the anti-price gouging bill and four conservative Democrats.
Right. Jared Golden was one. Stephanie Murphy
was one. And the other three were all women. Like I said, Stephanie Murphy. Then there was Catherine Rice from New York, who's retiring. Uh-huh. So she doesn't care.
Right.
She is a real piece of work as well.
Yep.
She worked with Schrader to sabotage the lower drug price bill. And then the fourth one. Come on.
I don't remember. I looked and it was not a name that jumped out at me. And I don't.
Oh,
remember.
They all jump out at me. Oh, I know. It was Lizzie Fletcher from Houston.
Oh, okay. There you go. I don't know her.
She's awful.
Well, you know, there are many of them, and that's what we're working on, is trying to get rid of them and get better people in their place. So so it looks like, hopefully, if all things continue on the course that they're on, we pick up Kurt Schrader's seat goes to Jamie McLeod Skinner, and Summer Lee wins in Pennsylvania. All right, now...
But the guy who's leaving it, he wasn't like a right-wing Democrat, but he was kind of right of center. He was definitely not a good Democrat. He was just like a Pelosi person. He was worthless. And by the way, he endorsed this guy Steve Irwin.
Oy, oy, oy. Okay, now let's move down to North Carolina. The good news is we're rid of Madison Cawthorn, although he would have been easier to beat probably than this other guy.
Blake.
right?
He couldn't have been. He couldn't in a red wave year. That district is not winnable.
Huh.
But when the next time a blue wave comes up, with maybe 24 or 26, he would have been vulnerable. Whereas the new guy will not be vulnerable because he's just a standard variety Republican,
right?
Who's going to, you know, he vote exactly the same way as Madison Cawthorn. There's not any votes where they would diverge.
Right.
But Madison Cawthorn is insane. And Madison Cawthorn is trying to get attention all the time. And, you know, he's looking to be, he was, I don't know, I hope he's not anymore, he was looking to be president someday. So he was trying to build up a brand for himself. And the Democrats would have been better off with him. He's also very, very good for fundraising.
That's right. Yeah. No, it's almost a shame.
I'm not really a big Instagram person,
mm-hmm.
but I post the stuff that I put on Down with Tyranny on Instagram. That's the only interaction I have with Instagram. I just take the Down with Tyranny stuff and I put up one of the pictures. That's it.
Okay.
And generally speaking, I average about 20 people who interact with it in some way, except in one instance, not one, but many. Every time I put up a Madison Cawthorn story, it immediately goes into the hundreds and the thousands.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
No.
I mean, a normal story about, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene or Joe Biden, or it doesn't matter who it is. It's always going to be about 20 average, you know, sometimes a little more, sometimes a little less. You have to just take Cawthorn out of that because it's always at least in the hundreds, often in the thousands.
Wow.
What the hell?
Who knows? I guess there's a curiosity.
Never say anything good about him.
No. Interesting. Karina in the chat room says, vote for the lesbian pastor to take Cawthorn's seat.
Yeah, she's very good. But
is she?
Like I said, it's not a district that, I mean, she'll win. There's one county, which is the county that Asheville is in.
Uh-huh.
She'll win there. But the rest of it, she'll lose.
Right.
The district was made to be Republican. It's a tiny bit less Republican, but very, very small. It's still an R plus 11. And in a blue wave, it's possible that a Democrat could win a seat like that if everything is going well for them,
right?
Like having an opponent like Madison Cawthorn. But now we don't have an opponent like Madison Cawthorn, and we have just a garden variety right wing Republican, a MAGA nut. So we can't. I mean, I hate to be, you know, spoil her. You know, her dream,
right?
But
it's not going to happen.
You know,
right?
And this woman, by the way, this reverend has raised a lot of money. I mean, she's done really well. So, you know, it doesn't matter though. She could raise $1 million. She could raise $10 million. It's the districts are drawn with a purpose, and that purpose for this district is to elect a Republican.
Gotcha. That's a shame because Asheville is a very blue part of North Carolina that should be a blue district, right?
You win Asheville hands down. There's no question about that.
Right.
But that district is a lot more than Asheville. That's
right.
The problem.
Gotcha.
It's full of, like, you know, crazy Republicans who are on the border with Tennessee.
Right.
And they're just, you know, they don't have teeth and they. Oh, I shouldn't say that.
They fuck their cousins. I gotcha. No, yeah. I know. I get where you're going.
Look at Madison.
So does Madison. Absolutely. Well, he's right at home there.
Even Trump's daddy's fucking his cousin. and the defense was, it's his third cousin once removed. What's the big deal?
So it's allowed. What's your problem? Oh, my God. All right. And Idaho. Did anything happen in Idaho we need to know about?
Idaho, you know, the headline is not bad. But as soon as you get below the headline, it's horrific. So the headline is that the sitting governor, Brad Little, who is extremely conservative, like very, very, he's not a little conservative. He's like very, very conservative, a complete conservative lunatic. But he was challenged from the right by literally a fascist, Janice McGeachin.
Right.
I mean, she is like.
Wasn't she the lieutenant governor?
She's the lieutenant governor, yes, and she challenged the governor. They hate each other, and they didn't run on the same ticket. They, you know, it's a separate. You run separately in
right.
that state.
Right. Okay.
So every time he would leave the state, she would, like, you know, put all these executive orders in. You know, like, you know, you're allowed to fly the Nazi flag over
right.
the Capitol
right.
or whatever crack pottery that she came up with, and then he would get home from wherever he was, and he, you know, go to his office and say, "Let me see all this, all the." executive orders she signed, then he would, you know, override each one of them every time he would leave the state. I mean, she, her, all of her closest associates, all are domestic terrorists. That's her thing.
Wow.
She's Mr. Domestic Terrorist.
Okay, well,
so
she didn't
lost
win.
By a lot.
Right. Good.
So that's the good news, that she lost. Unfortunately, all of her people who were running in the state legislature, they all won. So they defeated some of the most prominent conservative Republicans. They didn't defeat moderates. There are no moderates.
Right.
They defeated very, very right-wing Republicans who were like, you know, the chairman of like almost, you know, this committee, that committee, all these really important, well-known statewide names in Idaho. They all got defeated by fascists.
Oh, my God.
It was the bad news in that state, including, by the way, the state attorney general, who's been in office forever, and is again very right wing, is right, you know, as right as you're going to get, and he got defeated by someone to his right. These are, you know, who what's his name? Labrador. I forgot his first
right.
name.
Right, is it Raul?
Former congressman.
Okay.
Sorry.
Raul Labrador, is it?
Raul Labrador. He defeated this guy who had been in there forever, running to his right. And how do you run to the right of these people? But, you know, there's ways to do it. McGeechan, by the way, the reason that that was very, very watched race is because Trump met with Brad Little, and he didn't like his name.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
He had never heard of him. But Little went to Mar-a-Lago, and Trump was just freaked out by the name. Like,
the name
said something negative to him. That's
God.
By his name, Little.
Oh,
and the next
God.
Day, McGeechan came there and he endorsed her without having said anything to this fucking sitting governor of the state. It's just complete insanity in that party.
It is. It is. But, okay, here's the reason why I need to keep you a few minutes over, because there's complete insanity in the Democratic Party, too. New York. What the fuck? So New York is controlled by Democrats. They control both houses of the legislature. They control the governor's office. Did they overdo it on the gerrymandering to their advantage? So the court said no.
Yes, I mean, like I said, who do they think they are? Florida Stan?
Right.
But they literally drew a map just the same way that DeSantis drew a map.
Damn it!
Completely
stupid.
They can't. No way to defend it.
How stupid!
The courts threw it out. They appealed, and the courts threw it out again. And, you know, they're going to appeal again. But meanwhile, the court said, you guys are not capable of drawing your own map. And he appointed someone to draw the map. And the person they appointed to draw the map, I don't know him, but it's obvious what he was doing, which was to punish the Democrats for what they did.
Right.
Because he went out of his way to make a map that would drive them crazy, including making some of the most senior Democrats in the state be in primaries against each other.
Jerry Nadler and Carolyn Maloney are going to have to go up against each other, two people who've been there forever?
Nadler and Maloney. Also, Jeffries, who's going to, you know, Pelosi's pick for the next speaker,
right.
Hakeem Jeffries, is thrown into a Brooklyn district with Yvette Clark.
Wow.
And although I don't think he'll I think he'll move to his old district.
Right.
I don't think he's going to run against Yvette. And then
the big one.
The real story is that the head of the DCCC, Sean Patrick Maloney, who is literally the most conservative New Dem.
Right.
Other than the New Dems, who are also blue dogs. So he's the most conservative non-blue dog in among Democrats. He's the head of the DCCC.
Right.
And he was thrown into
Mondaire Jones.
Or he wasn't really thrown into it, but he decided he's going to run against Mondaire Jones and told Mondaire Jones, look, if you want to stay in Congress, go run against Jamal Bowman.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
unbelievable.
So other Democrats are now saying, oh, you know, that Sean Patrick Maloney is a racist, which he is.
Yeah.
And he should run in his own district and leave Bowman and
Mondaire Jones alone.
And Mondaire Jones alone.
Yeah.
And so there's a huge fight in the Democratic Party now. Now, remember, he's not only the head of the DTRIP, but he's also extremely conservative. Extremely conservative. That's why he should have never been elected. And I spoke to half the progressive caucus, and I said, you guys can't do this. You can't just let him march into this into this DCCC position, and they all just poo-pooed me.
Yep.
And now look what's happening.
Exactly. And so now, and then Nancy Pelosi backs Sean Patrick Maloney. It's like, yeah, Mondaire Jones can run against Jamal Bowman. Really? Wow.
And yeah, I mean, unbelievable. I just think that Mondaire won't do that. I hope he won't. But I mean, I can't imagine that he will. But you know, who knows with these people?
God, I hope he holds on and shows Sean Patrick Maloney the way home.
It was, you know, both of them are openly gay, by the way.
I know. And Mondaire Jones and Sean Patrick Maloney, both gay. Mondaire Jones, black. Sean Patrick Maloney, white. Very white.
Sure, and Maloney has been in Congress much longer.
Yeah.
But Jones has, you know, achieved much more. He's done a lot more than Maloney has ever done. Maloney is just like Maloney sits on the phone all day and calls up hedge funds asking them for money. That's all he does.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Whereas Jones is not about that. Jones is about policy.
Yep.
He's one of the best. I mean, in my mind, he's someone who should be on a leadership track, not someone who's being kicked out of Congress to make it easy for some, you know, guy who doesn't even belong in Congress to begin with.
Right. And AOC today stood up and said Sean Patrick Maloney should resign. He should resign as head of the DCCC because what he's doing is bullshit. My word, not hers. And by the way, she got engaged. So she's off the market.
Yep. The guy she's been living with.
Yep. So here
Whatever
we are.
What does that mean?
It means they're getting married. They're getting married.
Why don't they just get married? I mean, they've been living together for years now. They met when they were in college.
I know, right? They've been together for years. So you get engaged, so then you plan the wedding, and so they can get all the gifts and the, you know, do the dance. It's the dance.
You get engagement gifts too?
Sure, you have an engagement party, but then you also have a, you know, you if they're going to have a big wedding, which I'm guessing they are. This is the time when you do all that. And then you have the engagement party, so you get gifts. I didn't do any of this, by the way, just so you know. But they do that, and then they have the wedding, which is a whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like when you're living together, that's an engagement. You don't have to get it.
I know. Well, it's how we did it. You know, we lived together, and then we got married on New Year's Eve. So that's, you know. But, yeah, look, for young people, AOC still qualifies as young. This is her first and hopefully her only. And, you know, I think the marriage is a lovely tradition. And so go for it.
I'm not against marriage. I think it's fine if she wants to do it. That's no problem.
Yeah,
She's 34, by the way. But I think, you know, getting married is wonderful for her. And like I said, they've been living together, which in my mind is engagement already.
I hear you. All right. So, Howie, this coming Tuesday, we already mentioned the Texas runoff. But Georgia, Arkansas, and Alabama? Georgia, obviously, is a big deal, right?
Georgia is a big deal. Most of the action is on the Republican side.
Sure.
But there is a very important Democratic race as well. I don't want to say the biggest Bernie-crat in the state, but he was a state senator, and he's a very, very important Bernie-crat. Is running against a really awful blue dog. So they were both in the state Senate at the same time, but the blue dog went on to Congress. But the Vincent Fort, F-O-R-T,
okay,
is the Bernie guy. He's challenging David Scott. Now, the thing about David Scott, his record is horrible. He's very, very Republican to the point where he donates money to Republicans. He endorses Republicans. He's really, really bad. And, you know, he votes terribly. But the thing is about him that's even different is that he's completely senile now. So he's the chairman of the House Agriculture Committee. And because, you know, Pelosi is and he can't run the meetings. He's senile. He can't do anything.
Wow.
But because Pelosi is so sensitive about age, she's even older than him, she will not do anything to take him out of that position, which is really bizarre because the Republicans are running roughshod over him. It's awful. It's just awful. The guy can barely get to the House.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
I ran a video. I felt bad about running it, but I ran a video showing he has to be held up by two people to get anywhere. and the videos that came out of about you know of him trying to hold a meeting, they were sad. You know, he it's what happens when you get very, very old. But you know, that's the time that he should go take a rest. There's no reason for him to be in Congress anymore.
No.
And he shouldn't be.
Well, and he should take, I know, I'm like a broken record, take Nancy, Steny, and Jim
Clyburn.
with him. They all need to go home.
Uh-huh.
All right. Howie Klein, I've kept you long enough. Thank you. We got our work cut out for us. But again, good day on Tuesday. Mixed, right? But better than not.
More good than bad.
Exactly.
You know, for me, it was, you know, the bad thing was is that I've known Erica Smith in North Carolina really well.
And she lost.
For a long time. I really like her a lot, like really a lot. So to see her, I mean, she was way ahead. She was going to win. And this guy, the guy who beat her is so right wing. I mean, he's vehemently anti-choice.
Wow.
He's in the state senator, so he's got a record. And he is, he's gonna be, you know, he's definitely to the right of Joe Manchin, absolutely
so
to the right of Joe Manchin.
So how did he beat her? How did he pass her? What happened there? Was there
in millions of dollars in lying ads paid for by AIPAC?
Oh God, AIPAC really stuck their foot in it this time. They really
everywhere.
God damn. All right, well, something to keep in mind, just to. Keep in the back of your mind. As you know, it's a fight. AIPAC, go figure. All right. Howie Klein, find him at downwithtyranny.com. And, of course, the Blue America Pack. Go over there. You can click through from Down with Tyranny. Look at the list of candidates that have been endorsed by Blue America and help them. Vote for them. We are in primary season. This is the time. It is now. So
right, and especially if people are in a mood today to give a little bit of money, even if it's $5 or $10, The people who really, really need it now the most are Vincent Fort and Jessica Cisneros. They need money for their ground game. If they don't have the money to keep people in the field this week, they're not going to win. That's how they're going to win, is by keeping people in the field, bringing people to the ballots, helping to the polls, helping people fill out their ballots who want to mail them in. I mean, it's really, really important.
Yeah,
that they are able to execute their ground game, and they do need money for that.
And the Cisneros-Cuellar race is really being watched closely. If she can do this, if we can pull this off, this is huge momentum going forward.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's do it, people. All right, Howie Klein, I'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
Thanks, Nicole.
All right, bye-bye. All right, and with that, we're done. A little late today, but we had business we had to take care of, right? Okay, I'll leave you with the news tomorrow. As I mentioned earlier, we are going to get into the weird mind of this this Pennsylvania Republican gubernatorial nominee. Now, if this man wins, I don't even want to think about it. But you'll hear the weird, religious, creepy crap that swims through what doubles as this man's brain. I promise you, it's scary. Okay, I'll leave you with the news. I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Well, at least they did something in response to the latest round of mass shootings last weekend. The House of Representatives voted Wednesday on a bill aimed at preventing domestic terrorism and combating the threat of violent extremism by white supremacists. The bill passed 222 to 203, with only Congressman Adam Kinzinger crossing party lines to vote with the Democrats. The bill now heads to the Senate, where its fate is uncertain because most Republicans remain totally opposed to any kind of gun control legislation. The suspected shooter from Buffalo, where 10 innocent black shoppers were gunned down at a grocery store, has pleaded not guilty to a charge of first-degree murder. Officials said other charges are forthcoming. The shooter is expected to appear in court today for a felony hearing. Meanwhile, in New York, Attorney General Letitia James' office announced Wednesday that it's investigating social media platforms used by that shooter, which authorities have called an act of domestic terrorism by an admitted white supremacist.
The investigation will focus on the messaging service Discord, 4chan, and 8chan, and Twitch, the platform that the killer used to live stream the attack. Well, changes in Kyiv today. 3 months after evacuating staff and shutting their doors, thanks to Russia's war, the U.S. Embassy in Kyiv reopened on Wednesday. And just hours later, the Senate confirmed Bridget Brink as the new ambassador to Ukraine, giving the embassy its first confirmed ambassador since the former guy recalled Marie Yovanovitch in May of 2019. But things in Kyiv are still tenuous. The war is still raging. Speaking of wars, the former guy, George W. Bush, gave a speech in Dallas on Wednesday, during which he criticized Russia and Putin. But, as W. tended to do, he stuck his foot way back in his mouth.
In contrast, Russian elections are rigged. Political opponents are imprisoned or otherwise eliminated from participating in the electoral process. The result is an absence of checks and balances in Russia and the decision of one man to launch a wholly unjustified and brutal invasion of Iraq. I mean, of Ukraine. Iraq, too. Anyway. 75.
Wow. Just wow. There's stunning news out of Minneapolis, where Thomas Lane, former police officer who held down George Floyd's legs while he was being killed by Derek Chauvin, pleaded guilty Wednesday to second-degree manslaughter, cutting a deal with prosecutors. The 39-year-old Lane is one of three officers accused of aiding and abetting in the killing of Floyd, who died after Derek Chauvin pressed a knee into his neck for more than 9 minutes. The two other officers will go on trial in the coming months. So have you ordered your next round of free COVID tests from the government yet? Go to covidtest.gov to order a pack of 8 to be sent to your home. It'll likely be needed this summer. In fact, the CDC is again warning us that infections and hospitalizations are rising and suggested that people should wear masks indoors. New U.S. cases have risen above 100,000 a day. That's up 26% in the last week alone. More than 22,000 people are now hospitalized with COVID-19. The Northeast and Midwest have been hit hardest, but officials say other regions should also be on alert. While votes are still being counted from Tuesday's primary races in Pennsylvania and Oregon, but the two big upsets appear to be holding. Progressive Summer Lee is holding on to her lead in Pennsylvania's 12th district, though the margin is less than half a percentage point, so a recount is likely. But she fought back an influx of dark money against her. In Oregon, progressive Andrea Salinas, with 85% of the votes reported, is holding firm at 37% against Carrick Flynn. He's the artificial intel researcher who never held elected office and is backed by a PAC aligned with Nancy Pelosi, and more importantly, by many millions of dollars from a crypto billionaire who has now hopefully learned the hard way that money can't necessarily buy an election. And next door in Oregon's 5th district, for some reason, there are still a lot of outstanding votes as of Thursday morning, but progressive Jamie McLeod Skinner is holding firm over incumbent Kurt Schrader. Right now, the margin is 59 to 40%. Schrader, who's earned the nickname the Joe Manchin of the House, looks to be on his way out, going the way of Madison Cawthorn. Good riddance. So, Tuesday was a good day for progressives. The next test comes next Tuesday with a runoff in Texas between progressive Jessica Cisneros and conservative Dem Henry Cuellar. And this bit of a boost for Cisneros, Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal, who also chairs the Congressional Progressive Caucus, is endorsing Cisneros in her bid to unseat Henry Cuellar. In a statement, Jayapal noted that Cisneros' support for abortion rights was a major factor. Cuellar, of course, the only House Democrat who opposes abortion rights. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.
It'll be nice. to be able to have to go to, and listen, I'm being a little facetious, but I also understand on a serious and somber note that some people can't afford to go to another state to get these services. That breaks my heart and that angers me. And that's where this is horribly, horribly bad. But I do see just a small little glimmer in the sense that if you can get to a state that welcomes you, at least you know where you're welcomed, right? As an openly gay man, I've always said, I'd rather work for somebody that I know but respects me and knows who I am, believes in me, affirms me, than to work for somebody homophobic. So I'm going to choose the employer who loves me and respects me, right? If I have that liberty and luxury.
Yeah,
any positive there? I know it's hard.
No, I think I might have a slightly different positive glass half full thought, which is you mentioned that you didn't see a lot of anger, but I think the anger is there. I think it's building.
Oh, I hope you're right.
There's a bit of shock, and I think that, you know, unfortunately, you know, a lot of us really tried to convince voters that this was really on the ballot in 2016, and that this was going to happen. And so many people around the country, just if you looked at polls, they just didn't believe it was really at risk. They knew what the rhetoric was, but they didn't think the court would actually do this and take away, for the first time, strip away a constitutional right that had been recognized. But now that if it does happen, and if the states continue to pass their extremely draconian laws that we see happening in red states, I think that is going to awaken and engage a lot of people. That may, instead of leaving some of those red states, they may rise up and get out to vote and change the politics in some of those states. And so that's my hope.
I hope you're right. I absolutely hope you're right. Believe it or not, I'm going to say something rather dramatic, but I have given it a lot of thought. And I really, if this continues, let me be very clear. I'm simply saying if this, as you say, the stripping of constitutional rights and these draconian efforts continue by red states and this type of Supreme Court, I actually could see a very different